to read our Bible reading now, which we're going to be looking at today. So it's somebody give me a page reference, because my Bible is slightly different. 967. There we are. 967, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Do turn it up, because I'm going to be referring you to it during my talk. So let's hear it read now. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word. Help us to understand it better this morning. Not just so we might know more, but that we might know you more and your will for our lives. Amen. Okay, now, I wanted us to think a bit this morning about standing out in a crowd and what makes people stand out in a crowd. Often it might be something about their appearance or their dress or their behaviour. I knew somebody when I was a student who always was very tall and always dressed in a suit. And as you know, most students tend to dress in jeans and t-shirts. So you always noticed him because he was always wearing a suit and he was very tall. You can think of other ways, can't you? And sometimes if we want to stand out in a crowd, we might dress particularly impressively, or sometimes actually we might want to fit in, and so we dress in as nondescript a way as possible. Interestingly, of course, when I wear my uniform, that tends to mark me out on a crowd, as obviously in a crowd, it means lots of people talk to me, which is good. It's great. Though sometimes it kind of attracts people who never stop talking to you, and that's sometimes less good. But hey, that comes with the territory, that's fine. I want you to visualise the scene at the Jordan River this day that Matthew was describing. Because if we look further back in the chapter, we know that there would have been a huge crowd gathered at the Jordan River, because Matthew tells us that people went out to him in Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. That's really quite a big area. And so John the Baptist had, by his preaching and by the fact he was baptizing people, had attracted a huge crowd of people. And in those days, people dressed pretty similarly. You probably wouldn't have been able to pick somebody out of the crowd as being different or special. They were all crowding towards John, listening to him speak and waiting to be baptized by him in the river. But there is somebody there that this morning who is very different. He doesn't stand out from the crowd because he doesn't look any different. But he is completely different to everybody else who was there. And this person is Jesus. And Jesus comes forward, he waits his turn in the line, and he comes to John to be baptized. And John does something that he hasn't done with any of the other people who come to be baptized. We know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were kind of like the religious leaders of the day, came towards him, but John kind of shooed them away before they even got to him, telling them that basically he knew that they didn't really mean it, and they needed to go away and show that they really followed God before he was going to baptize them. He knew their hearts, and their hearts were completely wrong. Jesus is different. And we're told, look at it there in verse 14, John tried to deter him. He was saying to Jesus, "Are you sure? Are you sure that we should be doing this?" And he didn't say this because Jesus wasn't ready to be baptized. It wasn't that he needed more preparation or he needed to learn more about God. It wasn't that Jesus didn't mean it, that he was just going through the motions. No. So the problem is, John knows who Jesus is. Matthew shows us that actually the key part of John's message was that he was telling people that Jesus was going to come, and he was telling people and teaching people what Jesus was going to be like. That was basically his job, to point people to Jesus. And doing that, he fulfills prophecy in the Old Testament, because Matthew tells us that, that Isaiah talks about a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord," and that's John. He's getting people ready for Jesus. And so, what happens is that that now the person who John has been talking about all this time, or however many months he'd been there in the desert by the Jordan, now that person is here. Now Jesus is here. I remember what John has said about Jesus just a little bit before. He said that this is someone who is more powerful than him. It's someone whose sandals he isn't fit to carry. It's someone who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, Jesus is in front of him. And John says to Jesus, "Hey, shouldn't you be baptizing me? Shouldn't you be baptizing me? Why are you needing to be baptized?" And that's a really interesting question, isn't it? Really interesting question to think through. Why does Jesus need to be baptized? Because if we look back a little bit to chapter 3, verse 6, and what happens when people are going out to receive John's baptism. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But Jesus doesn't need to confess his sins. Jesus doesn't sin. Jesus, the only human being who has never sinned. Because he is God, he is perfect, perfectly good. He has nothing to confess. So why does he need to be baptized? It's a couple of things. Jesus gives us a reason, which is, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this is the right thing to do. He doesn't really tell us why it's the right thing to do. So, let's think a little bit about this. So one of the prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus is that he will be numbered among the sinners. That's what's happening here, isn't it? Jesus is standing in line with everybody else who sinned. He's identifying with us as human beings. He's come down to share a human body. He's submitted himself to that. And he's now walking with everybody else towards John. He's identifying himself with our problem. The problem we have that we've sinned and we can't sort ourselves out. He's identified himself with that. And also in the Bible, the book of Hebrews talks about Jesus and says, we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses, who knows what it's like to be human. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that Jesus is now 30 years old. That was the age at which people will become priests. Okay? And although Jesus isn't a priest technically, we know that he is often talked about in the Bible as our high priest. And when priests got ordained in Jewish faith, they were washed. That's what Jesus is doing in the river, isn't it? So it's about him beginning his public ministry. And also Jesus is going to be a sacrifice. Talk about that in a bit. What he does on the cross. And in the Old Testament, when the law tells us that sacrifices were washed, made clean before they were made, the animals were washed before they were actually sacrificed. So those are all a few things that we kind of get out of this idea that Jesus is coming to be baptized. But the big thing really comes a little bit next. You see, everybody else who was standing there would have been a bit confused, because they would have seen people going forward and John simply baptizing them, and probably would have been quite a quick process. But so they would have seen John stop and talk with this man who they didn't know, and they would have thought, what was going on? Some of them might have been close enough to overhear the conversation, and that probably wouldn't have really, that would have confused them even more. So, what's going on? But then they get to find out. They get to find out. Because something amazing happens. Matthew tells us that heaven was opened, the Spirit of God descends like a dove onto Jesus, and a voice says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God, the Father, speaking now. Imagine the reaction of the crowd at that point. Here is some, they now know that this is somebody very special. Why has he got baptized? Well, both basically because the Father has told him to. He's being obedient. He's being obedient to what God wants. We love our children, don't we? And we're always pleased with them, I guess. But we have to say, we're always especially pleased with them when they do what we want, when they make us proud by what they do. And I think this is what is happening here. Jesus, God sees Jesus' obedience, and that's why he is well pleased with him. He loves him. That's, you know. And here Jesus is demonstrating that he is the obedient Son of God. That's really important. Because that's the whole point of Jesus coming down to us, is that he submitted himself to God's will. And 3 years after Matthew will relate another event where Jesus submits himself to the Father's will. Except this time, it's much more difficult. Jesus is going to submit himself to die on the cross, to suffer a punishment that he didn't deserve, to suffer a punishment that was so far beneath him. How can the incarnate Son of God die like a common criminal? Jesus submits himself to that. And he does so because he loves us. And he does so because of the problem that John has identified in his ministry, that people need to deal with their sins. John's baptism is a start. It gets people ready, but ultimately it can't save people, rescue people from their sins. Jesus does that on the cross. He does it by taking our sins upon himself. We should be punished for our sin. The Bible tells us that punishment is death. Jesus dies in our place on the cross. That means that Jesus has taken our sin onto himself, so that now we no longer, in God's sight, have any sin. We are forgiven, we are made clean, we are washed, just as Jesus was washed in the Jordan River. God sees Jesus when he sees us, because Jesus died for us and Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. That's what the baptism of Jesus teaches us. You know, fitting in with the crowd isn't just about how we look, is it? You may think, actually, that fitting in with the crowd is something that really maybe stops you telling people that you're a Christian, telling people that you come to church. Maybe it's the thing that's stopping you making a final commitment to follow Jesus. Because we sometimes, if we stand out from the crowd in what we believe, we might get teased, we might get mocked, we might get criticised, we might get abused. We don't like that, do we? In those conversations, maybe in the workplace, in the school playgrounds, when somebody says something that we think, we know in our heart, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. And we know we should say something, but sometimes we just don't, because we don't want to stand out in the crowd. Jesus shows us that if we are obedient to him, that's not really an option, is it? Jesus submits himself to this life of obedience which ends with an obedient death, and he does it out of love for us. How are we going to respond to him? If this gospel of Jesus, if this good news of Jesus is new to you this morning, if you haven't yet committed your life to him, if you haven't yet said to him that you're ready to receive this amazing free gift of forgiveness for your sins, then do please speak to me before you go. I'd love to pray with you and talk to you about how you can be a disciple of Jesus. And I guess for all of us, we need to continue to listen to God's Holy Spirit, speaking to us through the Bible, speaking to us through prayer, speaking to us through other people, so that we too can be obedient to the voice of God. Because that's what being a disciple of Jesus means. That's a key part of it, that we're ready to listen and obey. My prayer for you as we go into this new year is that you might be able to do that more and more, and so bring glory to God. Amen. Going to pray now. I'm going to pray a special prayer for today, when Abifa is going to come and lead us in intercessions, and then we're going to join together in the Lord's Prayer.